1 Thessalonians chapter 3, we're going to pick up where Pastor Paul left off last week in chapter 3. Good news. You know, there's different kinds of good news. There's the kind that is unexpected, such as my husband was just given a promotion at work that we didn't see coming, or my wife, who was told she cannot have children, is expecting, or that really nice girl at church agreed to go out with my brother. I didn't think she would. This kind of unexpected good news. And then there's the kind of good news that you were hoping for, such as the weather forecast looks really good for the church picnic. Or you students out there, when your professor agrees to let you retake the midterm exam that you did so poorly on. That's good news that you were hoping for. But then there is that kind of good news that brings real relief. This is the kind you experience when you're a mother who can't find your four-year-old at the state fair for several minutes, and then finally spot that child next to the Ferris wheel, crying but holding Officer DeRoshi's hand. Oh, that's good news, isn't it? It is that kind of relieving good news that the Apostle Paul received from Timothy regarding the dear Thessalonians, that church that he had started a short time before. Remember that the Apostle Paul was of a different era of church planning than we are in today. He didn't stay in an area for 4, 5, 6, 10 years, get the church off the ground, and then move on to the next one. He was in an area for a matter of weeks, reaching people with the gospel of Christ, reaching enough people to establish a small nucleus of believers and have a church up and running, and then he was off to start another one. Well, planning churches that way, people did not have them have their leader around for very long. And remember that they didn't get the time to be grounded under their church planner like typically they are today. And so he was concerned about the Thessalonians and their faith. And he wanted to know how they were doing. But back then, news traveled slow, didn't it? Unlike today, in this age of instant access to know what is going on. In fact, we often have too much information and what's going on around us and could use a little bit less. Well, the Apostle Paul could have used a little bit more. And he was so concerned about that church in Thessalonica. And his fears were valid. He was concerned that Satan might have planted some seed in their hearts and messed them up in their walk with Christ. He thought they might be floundering. And he was worried sick. Do you remember that from last week in verse 5? When he said, "For this reason I could no longer endure it. I sent to know your faith." He just couldn't stand it anymore. He had to know what was going on, like the mom who just has to find that four-year-old. But then he got his report from Timothy. And it was good news. What was the good news? In verse 6 says, "But now that Timothy has come to us from you and brought us good news." Did you know that the phraseology of good news here in verse 6 is the same phraseology used elsewhere in the New Testament in reference to the gospel itself? The good news of Jesus Christ, and that is good news, isn't it? It's good because of the bad news. We are cut off by God Almighty because of our sin. Completely cut off with no hope of ever reaching Him, no matter how hard we try. That's bad news. But Jesus Christ took our penalty, took our payment, and died on the cross and conquered sin and conquered death. And He made the way for God to reach us since we could never reach Him. Now that's good news. And that's why the gospel means good news. That Jesus Christ has made the way that we might live forever. We have only to receive and believe in Jesus Christ and what he did on the cross. That is the same wording used right here in verse 6. When Timothy brought to the Apostle Paul good news. That's how important this was to him. He used the same wording as he would of the gospel itself. He says, he brought us good news of your faith and love. Well, first of all, the good news was that their faith and their love was encouraging. This is what he was hoping for, because he was worried that Satan had gotten in there and tempted them. And Satan tends to wreck people's faith and destroy a Christian's love. Did you know that faith and love show up some 16 times in the New Testament in the same context? Faith and love. When one has solid faith in Christ, it comes out in his love for others. When a believer practices biblical love towards others, that is evidence of his grounded faith in Christ. The two go hand in hand. You cannot have a solid working faith in the Savior and hate your brother. The two just don't mix. You cannot hate your brother and say you have a solid, faithful love for Jesus Christ. They do not go hand in hand. Faith and love work together in the outworking of God's work in our lives. And this is what his news is regarding the Thessalonians. He had good news of their faith and of their love. And not only that, he goes on to say, and that you always have good remembrance of us, greatly desiring to see us as we also to see you. So not only did he have good news that their faith and love was encouraging, but also that they too had a great desire to see Paul and his team. Folks, that's always a good sign. It's always a good sign when somebody wants to see you as much as you want to see them, right? If someone does not want to see you, it could be you, or as seen here, it could be them. And that's not a good sign when somebody doesn't want to see you. If your heart is with the Lord, but your brother's is not, don't be shocked when he avoids you. Don't be surprised. It's not you, it's his relationship with the Lord that's the problem, and it's come between you. And that was Paul's fear with these Thessalonians. He's afraid that Satan had planted some bad seed, and their walk with the Lord was have been such that their lack of faith would have damaged their relationship with Paul himself. He was afraid of that, because he wanted desperately and so badly to see them, but he wasn't sure that they wanted to see him. Well, turns out they did. That was good news. And you know, whether or not something is good news to you all depends on your motive. You see, before the Apostle Paul was the Apostle Paul, that is, before he got saved and became an apostle, his motives were really quite selfish, weren't they? And back then, in his selfish days, people getting saved was not good news to Paul. Christians serving the Savior was not good news to Paul. He hated that. But after his salvation, oh my word, his motives changed drastically. For himself, he wanted to glorify God in everything he did from that point on, even if it was hard. And for others, he wanted to see others grow in Jesus Christ, even if it was hard. So when believers did not grow in the Lord, that was heartbreaking to Paul. But when they did, well, that was good news to him. See, you'll find the same to be true yourself, I think. When your motives are self-oriented, another person's growth in the Lord just won't mean much to you. But when your motives are Christ-oriented, you will delight in the growth of those around you. Have you noticed that? Have you found that? As you're strong in the Lord and loving life with him, even when it's hard, and it often is, man, you just take joy in the growth of your brothers and sisters. Yeah. It means something to you. And it's heartbreaking when they don't grow. You want to see them grow. You want to see others win. That was the good news, the relieving good news for the Apostle Paul and his whole team. What was the effect of this news on Paul and his team? Well, verse 7 says, therefore, brethren, in all of our affliction and distress, we were comforted concerning you by your faith. Well, number one, should jump right out at the page at us. They found comfort. They found comfort in their brothers who were serving faithfully there in Thessalonica. You know, this affliction and the distress he's talking about, he's just talking about that which is caused by the ministry, caused by his serving Jesus Christ. He has affliction, he has distress, but in spite of all that, man, he found comfort in the Thessalonians' faith. He said, boy, the difficulties of this life, man, they pale when I find out my brothers and sisters are doing well. You know, I can deal with my own problems better when I know the people I love are doing well. Have you found that to be true in your own life? Whereas things could be going really, really well for me, but you know, somehow I don't enjoy it so much when people I love are hurting. You know, when how this has really hit me? This is a very practical way this has hit me in the last few years. Last several years, when Open Door asked me to be senior pastor, my concern was this. Ever since I had moved to New York 4 years earlier, I had never been so sick in my life. I moved to this state, and man, my respiratory system just went pfft. I mean, I had pneumonia, never had that before. I had ear infections constantly. Okay, had just one problem after another. And when I was the youth pastor at Open Door, there were a lot of weeks that I was just laid up and wasn't getting much done, but you didn't notice. Right? I thought, man, being a pastor at Open Door and being laid up as often as I am with my sickness, I had even strongly considered, you know, my third year here, Naomi and I said, do we need to leave this state? Do I need to get out of here? I've never been this sick in my life. I think I need to go back out west, man. And it was disconcerting to me, the idea of being a senior pastor and being sick all the time. And lo and behold, I accepted the offer to serve as senior pastor, and my health has never been so good. It's like everything quit. All those infections and all those sinus issues and all those flu bugs I was getting just seemed to come to a screeching halt. And of course, this could end tomorrow, but my health has been really good. I hope I'm not bringing a curse upon myself as I say this. But, you know, my health has really been good. But there's people here in our church family who cannot say that. And I tell you, I don't enjoy my health so much when I see what Joan's going through, what Maggie's going through, what Nellie's going through, Jerry and Kurt recovering from knee surgery, and this person's fighting that, and she's fighting this. And it's like, oh, my goodness. Okay, I wish they all felt as good as I did. And what it does and what it should do is make me thankful for my health while I have it, right? Because God doesn't promise this indefinitely, not in this body and not in this life. But that's just an example of, man, when the people around you are hurting, boy, if you really care about the Lord and you care about their growth in the Lord, it hurts you too. And that's what the Apostle Paul was going through. So when he found out they were thriving spiritually, man, that just brought him comfort, and his own pain just didn't seem so big after that. See, folks, this is why we need each other. This is why a local church is supposed to be a fellowshipping, edifying church that builds up one another. We need each other. In verse 8, it says, for now, notice this, now we live if you stand fast in the Lord. Okay, now that word live is an active, exciting word. It's not a lifeless, passive one. Just to live, meaning I have a pulse, I'm breathing. No, that's not what this word means. This is a different word. Let me try to illustrate what this word means. In 1955, Forrest Young was moose hunting in Alaska's Chilkat Valley. Packing a moose he had downed on the way to camp, Forrest was jumped by a grizzly bear. After fighting with the bear with what seemed like an eternity, he finally just stopped and played dead. The bear immediately ceased its attack and walked away with the moose kill. which is what the bear really wanted in the first place. When his hunting partner found him, he knew he could not move Forrest. So he ran back to camp, brought back a sleeping bag, made him as comfortable as possible, and then went for help. 14 hours later, Forrest was in a helicopter on his way to the hospital. When they got him to the hospital, they took him to the surgical room. He had 100 tooth marks on the front of his body from shoulder to knees, countless other cuts and gashes on his back. Several ribs were broken. One was gone. Two more had to be partially removed during the three-hour surgery. The surgeon couldn't believe any man who had sustained these kinds of injuries could stay alive longer than 6 hours without medical help, let alone 14 lying in a sleeping bag. Oh yeah, when they found Forrest, he was alive, but not living. See, that kind of living is just surviving, right? Just a year earlier, 1954, to the east, about 3,000 miles, Maurice Raynard and Rich Newcomb embarked on a month-long canoe excursion in the Canadian Northeast. Maurice was only 18 and was about to head off to Bob Jones University. 28-year-old Rich was his best friend. Being outdoorsmen and canoe enthusiasts, they had planned this expedition for months. A bush plane with their aluminum Grumman canoe strapped to one of its pontoons landed in a remote lake, left them in their gear in the middle of the wilderness, and headed off. They stood with 650 miles of mostly uncharted territory to their destination. For about 5 weeks, those two fought mosquitoes, dangerous rapids, one that threatened to destroy their canoe. They portaged their gear over land many, many times, got lost as they tried to find the outlet of one of the huge lakes that they were on and knew they had to find it soon because freeze-up started in late August, and it was mid-August at that point. They lived off a lot of fish and even a few ducks that they shot. They reached their destination with almost no provisions but for some moldy flour and oatmeal. Bug-bitten as they were, their bodies were sinewy and strong, and they both agreed it was the trip of a lifetime. Those men didn't just survive their month-long, five-week excursion. Man, they thrived. They lived. You see the difference between those two and Forrest after the bear attack? You see? One survived, the other thrived. This is what Paul is saying in verse 8. He says, for now, we live. Now, we are thriving because of the news of your faith in Christ. That's what he's saying. You're not just surviving. What caused him to live and feel just the power of life? The condition of his brothers and sisters. That's what. When he knew the people he cared about were growing in their faith, it had the effect of someone who was living to the fullest on a wilderness expedition. That's the effect it had on him. He said, man, we live knowing that you stand in your faith. Boy, we start taking interest in each other, we'll start living like that. Even when our health is shot, even when we have our own problems, but knowing about one another's growth in Christ, man, we'll live. We won't just survive this life. Man, we will thrive till the day we see Jesus come. You want to see people who are thriving in this life? Look at what it is that causes them to thrive. Typically, it's not good health. Some of the poorest health Christians I know are just thriving in their walk with the Lord. It's not their financial situation. The happiest, thrivingest Christians I know are not loaded. Not with money and monetary means anyway. It's their walk in Christ and the joy they take in other people. These are the Christians that are just thriving in spite of all of their issues that they have to deal with. That was the Apostle Paul. Verse 9, he says, for what thanks can we render to God for you, for all the joy with which we rejoice for your sake before our God? Well, they rejoiced. Notice that this is in the form of the question. What thanks can we render? In other words, it's like saying, Boy, how thankful can we be for you guys? That's what he's saying. We're just so thankful. How thankful can we be? Do you ever get that happy for other people? You just can't seem to thank God enough. Now, there's a risk in being this joyful for another person's faith. And it is this. You can also be equally sorrowful for another person's lack of faith. Breaks your heart when you see people you love walking away from the Lord and not serving the Lord. It's heartbreaking. And the Apostle Paul dealt with that too. But man, when people follow the Lord, you will rejoice. And that's what they did. They rejoiced, according to verse 9. And then verse 10 says, it says, night and day praying exceedingly that we may see your face and perfect what is lacking in your faith. Fourthly, they prayed. What did they pray for? It says that we may see your face. Well, they prayed to be together. They prayed that they would be together. Again, it's really sad when people don't want to be around each other. There's something wrong. There's something amiss when we'd rather avoid each other than enjoy each other. I love visiting family. Our vacations are spent visiting family. Naomi's parents live about 1,000 miles away. My parents live about 2,000, 2,500 miles away. So we use our vacations to visit family. And I'm going to tell you, those really are vacations for us. Okay? It would not be a vacation to send me to a Bible conference. That would not be a vacation. Right? That would be valuable. But a vacation is my family. And I just love being with our families. Okay? And you know what else I love about my vacations? When they end and I come home to be with my church family. You see? I look forward to that too. There's joy in that. They prayed that they could be together. They prayed for that. But not only to be together, he also says, not only that we may see your face and perfect what is lacking in your faith. They prayed to build together. We want to be together so we can build you up. To perfect means to equip. Paul wanted to just equip those people with even more of what they needed. Whatever they were lacking in their faith, he wanted to train them so that they weren't lacking. They prayed to that end. These are good things to pray for, folks. You'll find yourself praying for each other this way when you take joy in one another. What effect do other believers have on you? Well, mostly that depends on you, doesn't it? It really does. If you're growing in the Lord, if you're finding joy in your walk with Christ, as difficult as it is, and you're finding joy in the life that Christ offers you, then you're going to take joy in others who are growing as well. Such news of another's well-being won't be a ho-hum. That's nice. It'll be stress. Relieving good news. I am so relieved and thrilled to hear how my brother or my sister is doing in their walk with Christ. It just makes me want to thrive. Makes me want to soar.